This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark Frischenkannison and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m, Tuesday the 11th of August, and in about 15 minutes we're taking a look at the Bernas monopoly in the Malaysian rice industry. But before that, here's a look at the markets.
Well, the US was a bit split here. We've got the Dow and the S&P up a few hours ago. The Dow closed 1.3% up. The S&P closed 0.3% up at 3,360 points. The S&P is up 4% year to date. The Nasdaq closed down 0.4% a few hours back. But year to date, the Nasdaq is still up 22% though.
Yeah, the Asian markets, Shanghai Composite closed up 0.8%. The Hang Seng closed down 0.6%. Kospi closed up 1.5%. FBM KLCI was down 0.4%. And the Nikkei was closed for Mountain Day. And STI was closed for Independence Day.
So for some insights this morning into global markets, we're speaking to Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, Tencent shares fell as much as 5% yesterday after the Trump administration's proposed ban on WeChat. Are there likely to be significant financial impacts to Tencent and perhaps similar spillover effects on Chinese internet companies?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. It was down as much as 10% intraday on Friday when the news broke that the President Trump and his administrations were looking to, or giving him 45 days to ban WeChat. So, I mean, this is just another heightened in the escalating tensions between the two global powers. If we talk about specifically the financial impacts on Tencent, I mean, WeChat is not used, you know, very significantly within the US. But then you talk about some of the earnings or holdings that Tencent has in some US companies. We're talking about companies like Spotify, Snap, Reddit, Tesla, Warner Music, and they've got a big stake in Epic Games, which is the maker of Fortnite. So, you know, we talk about this tech decoupling, which, you know, I talk about a lot and I think is happening, and this is just another sign of it happening. But then we also talk about how, you know, unified these economies are. And I just said that with the ownership of Tencent and so many US companies. So look, whether they go through with it is another question, whether it's just bolstering before an election. Certainly, you know, markets in Asia didn't like the news that they were doing that. The worry for me going forward, not only for US and Chinese companies, but companies around the world, is what kind of precedence does this set? So when we talk about TikTok, obviously in this environment, you know, do European nations start saying, well, Facebook's breached data. You know, we want Facebook, you know, the European arm to be bought out by Siemens. That's the worrying issue we're having with, you know, these bans or these proposed bans. So in terms of the financial impact on Tencent, I think it's more of a news driven. This company is so big. It's got so many tentacles in so many areas. It's the largest gaming company in the world. It's top three digital payments, and it has stakes in many of emerging internet giants within China. So whether the financial impact is going to be long-term, I don't think so. But again, it's just this environment we're dealing with where these increasing tensions between these two countries are just ratcheting up. And we saw the Chinese react yesterday by, you know, banning some financial, banning some politicians within the US. So, you know, just another diamond in what is an amazing time in markets.
Jack, in the long-term play, I mean, we've had chats before how you are generally bullish on Chinese tech or US tech or tech in general. In the long-term view, how do situations like this very thing with Tencent or even with TikTok, play into your longer thesis for Chinese tech?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about this tech decoupling, and this is occurring, it's happening right now. Take out Alibaba and Tencent out of Chinese tech. When you start talking about your Meishuan Jumpings, your Baidus, your Bilibilis, your Youku's, your NetEase, you will find that they don't do much business within the US. They have massive domestic consumer bases, 1.4 billion in an emerging middle class, and their expansion across the world is mainly around that Southeast Asian belt. So, you know how bullish I am Chinese tech, and that's one of the reasons I am so bullish, in that not only do they have a domestic consumer base, which is so huge and growing in terms of income, Asia and, you know, where you are and where, you know, hopefully where I am, is falling into the bosom of China. And then my bullishness on Chinese tech and the emerging Chinese tech giants is when you look at the most important resource in the world, and I say this to your listeners right now, the most important resource in the world is data. right? And if you want to talk about a subset of data, the most important subset of data is financial data. And the Chinese have more data and financial data than any other country in the world. In fact, their mobile payments are in excess of $18 trillion a year. When you talk about the US, we're only talking about 2.5. And the way these companies make money is they get users, they get frequency, and then they take that data and they build intangible assets. And I just feel, and from the numbers that I'm looking at, is that these Chinese companies are doing these or building these intangible assets better than any other companies in the world, or at least rivaling the US giants. So they are definitely decoupling from each other. There's no doubt about it. We are increasingly being asked to choose between US or Chinese tech. Have a Huawei, have an Apple. Use WeChat, use Facebook. and you can see it everywhere you go. And that's why there are two tech spheres, and I believe you should be invested in both. And I guess you know my
There's news that Huawei is running out of processor chips due to US sanctions, which also added to the negative sentiment around Chinese tech stocks. How would you trade on this news?
Well, it's funny that you ask, because I follow the chip sector very, very closely. So you will find that the Chinese have been worried about their chips for quite a long time. So when ZTE was banned, or when that ban came in three and a half years ago, and even previously to that, so the Chinese have had two IC funds, and they just recently raised a new one in order to try to bring domestic consumption or domestic production of chips back to China. And you will find one company, I encourage your listeners to have a look at it, it's called SMIC, which is their foundry. So Huawei has moved a lot of their production towards SMIC, but you're right about that, because in terms of chip making in China, they can only produce 12 nanometer and above, and it's that 7nm that Huawei is having a lot of issues with. But the one thing I know about the Chinese, if we know about history, is if they want something badly enough, they tend to do it. Now, there may be a short-term supply in where Huawei can get their chips from, but I am of the belief that China's been working on this for the last decade in trying to get a domestic chip center that can, you know, produce their own consumption. And they desperately want to do that, because they've been increasingly closed off from what is the most important sector in the world. And I'll just finish on this. If you talk about the tech war or the trade war that we are having between these two countries, and you think about it like a chessboard, the king piece on the chessboard is actually the integrated circuit, because every single piece of technology we have in the world has to have a chip in it. And if you make the chip, you own the chessboard. So it's a great question that you asked.
I'm looking at SMIC's share price, Semiconductor Manufacturing International, on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The price is down, perhaps it's correction. But you are bullish on this stock?
Well, it's up 300% in the last 12 months. So it has to take a breather. When I was in Malaysia in January, I did an interview and I said that was my number one stock pick in terms of Chinese. But yeah, I am very bullish. Look, I obviously have a position in it. My clients have a position in it. But yeah, I think what correction. You're going to see is, yeah, it's just a correction. I mean, things have to take a breather. They can't go vertical sometimes. Well, sometimes they do in this market, but yeah, it's just a short-term correction in my opinion.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi of VFS Group giving us some thoughts into particularly the tech news. But looking at some other international stories as well this morning, Marriott International has posted earnings that were battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. So they saw revenue plunge over 72% from the same period last year to just to shy of $1.5 billion, so missing the estimates of $1.68 billion.
Yeah, and then this goes into the larger story about hospitality and the impact it's had, right? So, I mean, these are not unexpected results. We take a look, Marriott is one of the biggest hotel companies in the world, or lodging companies in the world. It full year revenue around $20 billion. Hyatt is around $5 billion. So that, I think, shows the scale. And there are lots of other brands under them, but there is definitely a concern around how it's going to be able to generate revenue. Bloomberg forecasts, or consensus forecasts here in the next few months, are at least 50% less than what the quarters were last year, and just around that. So I think there's a concern around how the hospitality industry comes back from this.
Yeah, so the CEO, Arne Sorensen, he's guiding to see a gradual recovery. Of course, this much depends whether we'll see a second, third or fourth wave of the coronavirus. Well, right now for them, I think China is leading the way, with the rest of Asia Pacific improving at a slower pace. And at this point, I think only 9% of their global properties remain closed.
All right, so next we're going to be taking a look at our local scene, particularly Malaysia's rice industry, with conversations with Professor Datin Paduka Fatima Arshad of UPM. So be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.